If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Minnesota,
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say.
The right. to the setting sun. His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Once a year, I was going to the drums. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible sweet sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening news and dance. I can read his righteous sentence by his dim and glaring lamps. Luke is marching on. Hang on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make them free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you turn and greet each other and say that you're glad to see them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glad to see you. that was a quick hello. Last week it was like 30 minutes. Did you say hi to everybody?
Set me free. I am happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I am happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.
Do I feel like dancing? Do I feel like dancing?
When the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Let's focus in on Him today. So many distractions around us. This time we come to pray and praise Him. Lord, help us keep our eyes upon You today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. I will sing of your love forever. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. So good, Jesus. love you, Jesus, Lord. We're going to move on to the last song. One more. Micah, move on to the last song. There we go. Thank you. In peace, we come to pray and to seek the Lord today for salvation from His hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray. Sin we repent, O Lord, we believe Your holy words. Have mercy now, we pray, take all our sins away.
For we have placed all our hopes in
you. Father God, we indeed pray for mercy this morning. Lord, we pray that your outstretched hand would touch those that need a touch this morning. Lord, wherever they're at in life, whatever's going on in life, from salvation to healing to provision, Lord, would your merciful hand be outstretched this morning, touching the hearts and lives of people. Lord, it's only by mercy, it's only by grace that you pour out what you do today, Lord. We deserve none of it. None of it. But God, you have mercy on your people. And you provide and you bless and you protect. And you encourage, and we are grateful for that. Lord, we are encouraged and excited about some things that have happened over this last week. But Lord, we know there's a lot more that needs to be done as well. God, we pray that you would continue to work in the hearts and lives of our leaders from a national level to a state level to a local level. God, that you would change people's viewpoints and thoughts and ideas. And God, that you would help us to learn how to love others the way we're supposed to. Lord, without judgment, without condemnation, God, help us to love as you love. Help us to forgive as you forgive. God, I am so grateful for today. I'm so grateful that you allow us to be here, to listen in, to hear what's happening. Lord, we live in a land of the free because you have allowed us to live here, because you have given us a blessing in that. Lord, thank you for that, Father God. Lord, we commit our hearts and our lives to you this morning and pray, Lord, as you have already been in control today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move, continue to minister, continue to speak and touch people right where we're at, Father God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. Our nation's 246th Independence Day celebration. Almost 250 years of ups and downs, of battles, of controversies, of victories. 250 years with changes that have occurred, redefining what we consider freedom and how it applies to each new generation over the years. 250 years almost. So today we are going to reflect on freedom and celebrate freedom. I want to start this morning by reading an excerpt from a speech that was given on July 4th, 1986. By then President Ronald Reagan. Perhaps you've heard some of these words before, but listen closely as I read these words this morning and consider how these words spoken that long ago apply yet today. My fellow Americans, my remarks tonight will be brief, but it's worth remembering that all the celebration of this day is rooted in history. It's recorded that shortly after the Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia, celebrations took place throughout the land, and many of the former colonists set off cannons and marched in fife and drum parades. What a contrast to the sober scene that had taken place a short time earlier in Independence Hall. 56 men came forward to sign the parchment. It was noted at the time that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And that was more than just rhetoric. Each of those men knew the penalty for high treason to the crown. "We must all hang together," Benjamin Franklin said, "or assuredly we will all hang separately." And John Hancock, it is said, wrote his signature in large script so that King George could see it without his spectacles. They were brave. They stayed brave through all the bloodshed of the coming years. Their courage created a nation built on a universal claim to human dignity, on the proposition that every man, woman, and child had the right to a future of freedom. For just a moment, listen to those words once again. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is a hope that someday every people and every nation of the world will know the blessing of liberty. All through our history, our presidents and leaders have spoken of national unity and warned us that the real obstacle to moving forward the boundaries of freedom, the only permanent danger to the hope that is America, comes from within. It's easy enough to dismiss this as a kind of familiar exhortation. Yet the truth is that even two of our greatest founding fathers, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, once learned this lesson late in life. They'd worked so closely together in Philadelphia for independence, but once that was gained and a government was formed, something called partisan politics began to get in the way. After a bitter and divisible campaign, Jefferson defeated Adams for the presidency in 1800, and the night before Jefferson's inauguration, Adams slipped away to Boston, disappointed, brokenhearted, and bitter. For years, their estrangement lasted. But then when both had retired, they began, through their letters, to speak again to each other. "It carries me back," Jefferson wrote, "to the times when, beset with difficulties and dangers, we were fellow laborers for the same cause, struggling for what is most valuable to man, laboring always at the same oar, we row through the storms with heart and hand." It was their last gift to us. This lesson in brotherhood, this tolerance for each other, this insight into America's strength as a nation. My fellow Americans, it falls to us to keep faith with them. And all the great Americans of our past, believe me, if there's one impression I carry with me after the privilege of holding for 5.5 years the office held by Adams and Jefferson and Lincoln, it is this: that the things that unite us, America's past, of which we are so proud, our hopes and aspirations for the future of the world that is with much loved country, these things far outweigh what little divides us. And so tonight we reaffirm that Jew and Gentile, we are one nation under God. That black and white, we are one nation, indivisible. That Republican and Democrat, we are all Americans. Tonight, with heart in hand, through whatever trial and travail, we pledge ourselves to each other and the cause of human freedom, the cause that has given light to this land and hope to this world. Can you believe those words were spoken about 36 years ago? It's almost as if President Reagan could see America today and the need for unity among all of us walking this land today. Our need to come together and defend our inalienable rights, to stand for our freedom. Through all of what I read this morning, and his speech was much longer, it kept going, but through what I read this morning, there was one part of that that really jumps out at me every time I look at that. And it's this. It says, the only permanent danger to the hope that is America comes from within. For a long time, I have said to people that America probably will never be captured or conquered from outside sources, but America will destroy itself. We will fall apart from within with all of the division and the infighting and the hatred and all of that stuff. We are going to struggle from within. The self-centeredness, the hatred, it's tough. And unfortunately, that seems even more real today than it did 36 years ago when he spoke those words. We tend to be a nation of individual rights and privileges. We tend to be a nation that forgets where we've come from and the freedoms that we so enjoy. We are not supposed to be a people that tear each other down. We are supposed to be a people that build each other up, a nation that supports and encourages and helps each other to reach higher than we've ever reached before, to realize more than we ever have in the past, to experience a greater purpose in our lives. There are a lot of areas in life that we can experience freedom. For example, we can experience social freedom, economic freedom, political freedom. But the most important freedom of it all is spiritual freedom. Being set free spiritually. We are blessed to live in a nation that can experience all of those freedoms. Not pick and choose, not part of them, but all of those freedoms. And sometimes it seems we forget that. We forget just how blessed we are as a nation. That being said, this morning I want to take just 30 seconds to send out a very special thank you to a very special group of people this morning. We are profoundly grateful for those who have gone before us and paved the way for the freedom this nation has. I know we're not supposed to be prideful people, but I am overwhelmed with pride for the willing sacrifice of our nation's active and retired military personnel. I am incredibly grateful. None of us would understand the freedom that we have today if that freedom had not been fought for so vigorously over the last 250 years by those that have sacrificed so much to do so. So a huge thank you to those who have served currently or in the past in our military. In fact, join me in thanking them this morning. As proud as we are about fighting for our nation's freedom, which gives us at least three of the four freedoms that we mentioned just a moment ago, I wonder how hard we fight for our true freedom. that final piece I mentioned this morning, our spiritual freedom. See, that's where every one of us come in this morning. That's where we, as believers in Jesus Christ, as born-again disciples of the one true living God, that's where we come in today. We know a freedom that nobody else knows. We know a freedom that nobody else recognizes or understands. We know a freedom that goes way beyond the shores of this great nation. We know a freedom that can never, ever be altered or restricted or changed. And I ask this morning, how hard do we fight for that freedom? Interestingly enough, true freedom that we are talking about this morning, that we celebrate this weekend so intensely, true freedom comes down to surrender. True freedom is about sacrifice. It's about obedience and love and encouragement. True, real freedom is found, folks, in one place. And that's the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is there that we find freedom from hurts and heartaches and pains and suffering. It's there, wrapped in His loving arms, that we find freedom from sin and death. And that is the greatest freedom anybody, anywhere, anytime in the whole world can ever experience. That is true freedom. Freedom from the human condition of sin. And that is the freedom that we are called. Every one of us as believers, that's the freedom we are called to fight for. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians. And in part of his letter, he stressed, made it important to correct some errant thinking, some people that were a little bit confused about some things. They were confused even about freedom and what freedom meant. Some claimed to be free, but they were still bound by the law, by man's do's and don'ts. Others claimed that that freedom allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do, and it didn't matter. So Paul tried to set some things straight. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 22. Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner to sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoner by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Paul was trying to correct those who tried to add conditions of the law to the freedom that Christ was bringing to them. Freedom from sin and death. It's not that the law wasn't important. It's not that he erased the law. Jesus himself said, I did not come to erase the law, but to fulfill it. But the law did not, could not, will not bring freedom. Jesus gives us freedom. That's where true freedom is found. So Paul was working to correct those who were trying to add other conditions to the freedom Christ brought us. As I mentioned, it's also in Galatians where he talks about those who thought they had the license to do whatever they wanted to do. Chapter 5 in verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So our freedom does not allow us to go out and do whatever we feel like doing or whatever we think is right. That whole idea of relevant truth goes out the window right there. Truth is absolute. There is one truth that we are to live by. We cannot allow our opinions to dictate what we say is right or wrong. We cannot allow all these other things to be added to our freedom, and we can't allow our freedom to be a license to do whatever we please. Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit when he wrote what he wrote, trying to help others to understand what true freedom in Christ is all about. Yes, there's forgiveness of sins, and there's a glorious hope of eternity with our Father through Jesus Christ. But that freedom that we so cherish, that freedom also requires a willingness to surrender. To surrender. You know, that very idea of surrender goes against our nature as individuals. We don't like to surrender. It's not part of who we are. Our brains have a hard time understanding how surrender can equal freedom. We don't get that. We don't understand. We don't comprehend that. And yet surrender and freedom are inseparable. You can't take them away from each other. To be set free, truly set free, we have to be willing to surrender to Jesus Christ. We have to surrender to Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And it's in that surrender that we find salvation, which is indeed our true freedom. In his letter, Paul talked about the two extremes, and he even gives some warnings about them. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." The law led us to Christ, but it's Christ who gives us freedom. A little later in chapter 5, Paul gives a partial list of sins as an example of the things that some wanted to justify. They wanted to live this way, and they were justifying it by saying, well, you know, we'll be okay. We can do this. It's fine. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing here. Paul wanted to bring clarity again to that. Chapter 5, verse 21. "I warn you, as I did before, for those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." I didn't read all the do's and don'ts. They're there in Galatians 5. You can look at them later. But look at what he said. Don't misunderstand. Don't fool yourselves. Don't be tricked. If you're going to live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty straightforward. Not you might not, not there's a chance you'll miss out. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot take the freedom that Christ has given us and use it as an excuse to do whatever it is we want to do. Instead, we have to take that gift of freedom and turn around and surrender it right back to Christ, because He is the one who provides for us. When we learn to surrender, we will learn what true freedom is all about. In addition to knowing true freedom, we have a responsibility to share that true freedom. Scripture told us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Yes, that was directed at you and I. Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, but it applies to us today as much as it applied to them when he physically spoke those words. We are to go and make disciples. That means we are to go and share that idea, that concept of true freedom with everyone that we come in contact with. You want to know what it's like to be free? Then you have to surrender. And you have to be willing to explain that to others. How does that work? How do we do that? Part of our responsibility as free people is to share that freedom with everybody. It's to shout it from the mountaintops. It's to declare it in the valleys. It's to teach it to our children so that others can truly know what freedom is all about. Freedom in any sense of the word, social, political, financial, spiritual, freedom in any sense of the word is not something that just happens. Freedom has to be fought for. Freedom has to be worked at. It is deliberately sought after. Could you imagine if the founding fathers just kicked back one day and said, "Oh, hopefully they'll get it and we'll be fine"? We wouldn't be who we are today as a nation. Good or bad, however you view it, we wouldn't be who we are as a nation. It doesn't just happen. It has to be fought for. It has to be gone after. It has to be pursued. And I know it all seems a little backwards, doesn't it? Freedom has to be fought for. Freedom takes surrender. All seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Seems strange. You know, this life that we live, this Christian life that we live, has its ups and downs. Those don't go away. Those are part of who we are. It's part of our experience as we walk this earth. There's ups and downs in this life, mountains, valleys, times of persecution, times of peace. But through it all, if we will learn to surrender, if we will learn to obey, if we will learn to put our faith in Christ, we will experience true freedom that no one can ever take away from us. Ever. Nobody. It is ours for all eternity. And that is because of one man's sacrifice. One man who willingly took our sins on our shoulders. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus. Who was crucified, died, and rose again so that we can understand true freedom. True freedom. Do you remember the line that I told you from President Reagan's speech that stuck out the most to me? Let me read it again for you. "The only permanent danger to the hope that is America comes from within." With your permission, I'd like to change those words just a little bit this morning. The only permanent danger to the hope we have in our Savior comes from within. We are our own stumbling block. In one sense, our salvation is in our hands. Now, hear me out when I say that. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot do anything to be granted salvation or purchase it in any way. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But we have to choose to fight for it. We have to choose that freedom. We have to choose to defend it. We have to choose to stand against the enemy that strives to take it away from us. Just like as a nation, we have enemies that would like to see us fall and falter. Personally, individually, we have enemies. And I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about demonic influence in our lives. I'm talking about Satan. He is out to destroy each of us individually. And if we are going to stand in the freedom that Christ gave us, then He is one we have to fight against. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, as the Lord enables us to do so, but we have to be willing to fight. Not give in, not give up, not allow the circumstances of this world to take control. And to do that, we have to learn to surrender ourselves to our Savior. Back to that idea of surrender, so that we can experience freedom. You know, again, thinking about President Reagan's speech, 56 men put their lives on the line. You know, that idea of treason, that's what they were doing. They were committing treason. They put their lives on the line. Why? To pursue a freedom that may or may not have lasted. They had no idea when they signed that parchment what was going to happen. But they willingly put their lives on the line to pursue that freedom. We are given the opportunity to put our lives on the line for freedom as well. But the freedom we put our lives on the line for will never, ever end. Nobody can take it away. Are we willing to put everything out on the line for that freedom? As we spend time celebrating this weekend, let's remember what freedom costs. Great sacrifices were made so that we can be free. Whether you're looking at the men and women who have served this great nation, or whether you're more importantly talking about Christ's sacrifice so that we can truly be set free. Remember that this weekend. When you're oohing and aahing over the fireworks and the bottle rockets and all the parades and the music and all that fun stuff, which is great, there's nothing wrong with any of it, but remember what true freedom is all about and where that true freedom comes from. I'm going to close with one last simple verse of Scripture for us this morning. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Father God, I thank You for the freedom that we have, the true freedom we have through Christ our Savior. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand the responsibility that comes with that freedom. God, I pray that You would help us understand the obedience and the surrender that it takes to allow that freedom to really come to fruition in our lives. God, let that freedom ring true in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray, we have an incredible platform this weekend. Everywhere we go, people are going to be celebrating freedom. Help us to share true freedom this weekend. Help us to speak to people about the only freedom that is guaranteed to last for all eternity. Help us to do that as we talk to people, as we share with people, as we spend time with people this weekend. And God, thank You for providing that freedom in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears, relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, unending love. Amazing grace. Lord, we're grateful for that grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, would you grow us? Would you stretch us? Would you expand our boundaries? We could serve you more in a greater capacity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.